Today, we are going to simply talk on why do we doubt? Why do we doubt God? Why do we doubt? You know, I'm not talking about us doubting our salvation, though many believers do at some point in their spiritual life. But this morning, I'm talking about us doubting God when the unexpected hits us. Why do we doubt God? That is an important question, especially when the question comes from God Himself. Let's look into the Word of God to find some answers that will help us stop doubting and start trusting. Number one, why do we doubt God? One reason is because we tend to expect positive results every time we obey. You see, this morning for a scripture reference, I will be coming from Matthew 14:22-33. You know, I don't always read the scripture, but I do believe that the Word of God says, study to show thyself approved. So if you would go and read Matthew 14:22-33, I'm sure that this message will bless you. Why do we doubt God? You know, the disciples were not looking for trouble in this story in Matthew chapter 14. After all, in verse 22, Jesus made them get into the boat and go before him to the other side of the sea. Jesus told them to go, and they went, probably expecting smooth sailing. But as Jesus sent the multitudes away and went up on a mountain to pray, the disciples were running into trouble. And in verse 24, you'll find that the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for it says that the wind was contrary to them. They were tossed by the waves. He's not talking about some gentle rocking back and forth. The idea behind the word tossed is pain, toil, torment, and torture. They were in real trouble, not because of some failure, but because they had obeyed the Lord. They had obeyed the Lord. Results like that can lead us to doubt God. Today, many people are being influenced by a false prosperity gospel. There is a feel-good lie being taught that you should expect nothing but the best from the world because you are a child of the King. My brothers and my sisters, I would bid unto you that John 16:33, Jesus told his followers, in the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know, even in the Old Testament, we find Brother Job, and Job was an Old Testament hero, if you would, who was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. But for a while, Job almost lost everything that mattered to him in this world. The Apostle Paul was a great hero in the New Testament. If anybody should have received only good things in life, you can guess that it would have been Paul. But listen to his testimony from 2 Corinthians 11:24-28, and it reads as such: for the Jews, 5 times I have received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And night and day I have been in the deep. In the journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst fake friends, if you will, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, and fasting often, and cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for the Lord's church. Down through the ages, there are countless other examples to teach us that we should not expect only the good life from following the Lord. It doesn't make sense. So don't make that mistake. You keep trusting Jesus in the good times and the bad. You keep trusting Jesus no matter how bad things may get in your life. Why do you doubt God? Why do you doubt God? Why do we doubt God? Sometimes it's because we tend to expect positive results when we obey, and because the Lord doesn't proceed according to our expectation. The Lord doesn't always act according to our expectation. He is God and we are not. So He is going to do things that we don't expect or understand. And this is what happened when the disciples were hammered by the wind, but they were even more shocked when Jesus came to them walking on the water. And verse 25 and 26 says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, probably sometime between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out in fear." They didn't expect to be blasted by the wind, and the last thing they expected to see was Jesus walking on the water to them. So therefore they doubted. But God does move in mysterious ways, Brother Slade. God moves in very mysterious ways. The children of Israel were backed up against the Red Sea with the Egyptian army bearing down on them. Bloody slaughter seemed inevitable, but God did the unexpected. He parted the waters out of the Red Sea with less effort than it takes to let the water out of the kitchen sink. My God. 400 years later, a giant and his army were terrorizing the army of Israel. Everyone in the army was afraid to face the giant, but God did the unexpected. He used a little shepherd boy in a slingshot to bring down the giant known as Goliath. 1,000 years later, Israel was under the thumb of the Roman Empire, yet the people had hope, because God had promised deliverance through a new king, the Messiah. But God did the unexpected. The King of Kings was born in a stable for animals, and he did not come to lead an army to victory over Rome, but he came to give eternal victory to all who trust him. Jesus came to give us victory by dying on the cross for our sins and raising up from the dead. God moves in mysterious ways. Many of you will remember the terrible tragedy that took place in the fall of 1999 at Wedgwood Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. A man entered the church, killed 7 people, and injured 7 other before taking his own life. I will bid to you, even in Mother Emmanuel AME Temple in Charleston, Carolina, when the man went in and killed 9 people, including the pastor of the church. Many of us, we often understand that hard times come, but we have to understand that God was not responsible for that terrible crime. The devil was. In John 10, Jesus tells us that the devil is a thief who only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and life more abundantly. And God never lets the devil have the last word. About a month after one of the shootings, word began spreading about God's amazing works before, during, and after the horrible shooting, and we find people share these examples. We would find that even with Mother Emmanuel Temple AME Church in Charleston, many denominations pulled together to offer help and support to the church. One of the Methodist church sent 15 people the following Sunday to cover child care. They didn't want any of the members to have missed the service. You'll find that the police planted flowers in the flower bed before the church members re-entered the sanctuary to worship. The church received tens of thousands of emails and cards. Their pastor was taken from them, but they offered many opportunities to present the gospel through the media, including an appearance on Larry King Live. It is estimated that more than 200 million people heard the gospel because of this tragedy. CNN broadcast a memorial service live around the world. The current president at that time, Barack Obama, delivered the eulogies for the 9 people. We come to find that at several school students met around the flagpole the next day. More than 100 students were led to accept Jesus Christ gathering at various schools. One woman reported that she had been praying for her husband for years, and she and their 4-year-old daughter were around the vicinity of the church that night. And a short time later, her husband gave his life to Christ. There were many other examples of the hand of God at work, both during and after the shooting in Charleston. He moves in mysterious ways. God does the unexpected, and we must not let that cause us to doubt him, because he is always faithful to us. So why do we doubt God? Sometimes it's because the Lord doesn't proceed according to our expectations, and because we don't pay enough attention to the word of God. My brothers and my sisters, I would bid unto you right now that a lot of times the reason that we doubt God is because we don't believe that God will do it. You'll find that in verse 26, when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. And then in verse 27, Jesus immediately spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." My brothers and my sisters, I come to you right now that even for the children of Israel, even for the great disciples, we find that people are able, when they trust in Jesus, they can trust in God to calm any storm. And he cares. He cares about little children getting baptized in the river. He cares about you and me. For reasons we do not understand, Jesus may not calm the storm in our lives, but in those times, he will surely calm the storm in us. So you trust in the Lord and keep on trusting Jesus. Like those disciples in verse 33, we should come to Jesus. We should worship him and say, "Truly you are the Son of God." And if you don't know Jesus as the Savior and Lord, call out to him the same way Peter cried out when he was going down. He said, "Lord, save me." You can call on the Lord right now wherever you are, whether you are in the bed, whether you are in the car, whether you are at work, whether you are in the grocery store. You can call on Jesus right now. Call on him. I guarantee you, he hears you. He will save you. He will deliver you. He will protect you. He is everything. He is God Almighty. He is Alpha and Omega. He is El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi. He is everything that you need. I guarantee you, if you put your trust in God, he made a promise to you. He said, "No good thing will I withhold from them who trust me and diligently seek me." My brother, there comes a danger in doubting God. We don't want to doubt God on today. My brothers and my sisters, I leave you with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I love you, my brothers and my sisters. I wish that you would grow closer to God every day. Grow closer to God every day. Fear, cast it out. Doubt, cast it out. Love, come near. Draw love nearer. Draw closer unto God. I guarantee you, he's waiting for you to draw closer. So I leave you with this, as I leave you with every message, my brothers and my sisters. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Keep praying, keep trusting, keep believing, and watch God work it out. God bless you, my brothers and my sisters.